All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Stormwatch. I'm Brad Willis with my co-host son, John Willis, who's spending his time in Cane's Land down in North Carolina.
We're here to talk about Raleigh area. Raleigh Wood.
Okay. So this is game three. This was the UBS Arena in on Long Island, the Islanders' first home match of this series. Canes go into this match leading the series 2-0. Mm-hmm. This would turn out to be the toughest game of the bunch so far, even though we won. The Islanders outshot the Canes, outface off the Canes, but we made the most of our opportunities, in which we'll talk about right now.
Mm-hmm. In the first period, Brent Burns gets the scoring started, just kind of snaps it as it comes to him along the boards. I don't know if Sorokin ever saw it, but it was a good shot. He gets it off clean through traffic, goes off the post and in. That's his first of these playoffs with an assist from Natchez and Teravainen. That was at 4:46. And then Dmitry Orlov, kind of off the rush, would score as Svechnikov would take it into the zone after receiving a pass from Gensel. Pull up, wait for Orlov just a split second to enter the zone, make a nice feed across the slot. Orlov makes one little kind of move around a defender, just enough to buy some space to snap it by him and then over the right pad of Sorokin. That would make it 2-0. The Hurricanes would kind of weather the storm, so to speak, for the rest of the period. Shots were, 15-9, I believe, in the first period.
15-9.
In the second period, Pierre Engvall would get the scoring started for the Islanders. And you think, uh-oh, here for a second, because, like I said, the Hurricanes did not necessarily have the better of the play in the first period. That would make it 2-1 with an assist from Anders Lee and Pelech. Then Sebastian Aho would answer a few minutes later, about 5 minutes later at 7:14. That would be the third goal of the game for the Hurricanes, making it 3-1. That's his second of the playoffs. Another assist from Svechnikov, who had a really good game, as well as Jalen Chatfield assisting on the play. Then to kind of close out the period, I guess there was 2 minutes and 21 seconds left to go in the period. Brock Nelson would get a goal left all alone. Oh, no, excuse me. This one, he picks up a rebound, a shot from a point from Pulock, and then Palmieri kind of hits him right in the back and then just falls to Brock Nelson, who puts it into an open net. Not much Anderson could do on that play. And that would be the last goal of the game. No goals in the third period. Yeah. The Hurricanes were outshot significantly there in the third period and kind of had to
11
weather
to three.
The storm again. Yeah. What was the shot total in the third period?
11-3.
Okay. And then in the second period, it was much more even, correct?
10-5, Canes.
10-5. Okay. Yeah. Yep. So the Hurricanes definitely were the better team in the second period.
Right.
But the Islanders actually won that period. They got two goals as compared to one for the Hurricanes. What was your overall kind of thoughts on this game? Because the Hurricanes were outshot, probably outplayed, but still come away with a critical game three victory.
It was interesting watching the game, because as I was watching it, and I'll be honest, I didn't really panic. I wasn't,
we got up to a 2-0 lead, even though we're out playing.
And we've beaten them the last two games. So I was feeling confident that we were going to overcome whatever they threw at us. But like I had mentioned,
And they did come out hot. Give them credit after kind of the collapse that was game two for them.
Yeah.
They did start the game strong, but, you know, kind of flipped the tables from what it was in game two, where they came off to a slower start on as far as the play is concerned. But on the scoreboard, they were significantly ahead. Hurricanes would go up to a 2-0 lead in this game, even though they were being outplayed.
Right. So I think this game came down to the bounces were going our way, and Anderson was stopping all the grade A chances. So after Burns had scored the first goal, about 5 minutes after, Anderson made two great stops.
Unbelievable
save. One on Barzal and the other one on Dobson, following up on a rebound. Mm-hmm. And then later in the third, he made he got clipped, and he lost his balance. But as he was I don't know whether he was sitting down or getting ready to sit down.
Yeah, it's kind of
he catches the puck that was shot toward it.
As he's falling down, he trips himself into a good position to make a save and snags it with his glove. Kind of a weird two-pad stack, if you will.
Yeah. I actually thought the rush chance in the first period where he made two back-to-back saves was more impressive, but the announcers seemed to like the falling down, catching.
Yeah, it had a little more flair to it. You don't see that type of save right. a lot, just that kind of awkward thing.
But Speaking of, he did get clipped.
Did you see the Bobrovsky save from the other game?
Bobrovsky's on fire right now, and it has me worried.
Save of the playoffs. Yeah. Yes, that has me worried as well. Yeah, for sure.
He's back to his old tricks again, and all right, it's pissing me off.
Yeah. Back to the Hurricanes. Anderson, you know, had his best game, I would say, because, you know, he only faced 12 shots in the game two, but gave up 3 goals. Now, I don't necessarily fault him on any of the goals, but, you know, you'd like him to make a save on one of the three. But here, you know, he was excellent. He was really good. So the only goal, the first goal of the game for them, I can't remember who scored it, but he was left all alone right in front of the net.
Engvall.
Both the defenders in front of the net who are in the slot, there's a guy for the Islanders in the corner with the puck, and they both go after him. And that's not what we do, right? It's a man-on-man system in the defensive zone. So that's what happened. Someone was left alone in front of the net, and then I believe Natchez and Kuznetsov just didn't get there in time to do anything about it. It was a really quick play, pass to the front, and then the guy slides it 5-hole on Anderson.
That's 2 games in a row we left someone right point blank in front.
Yeah, the Anders Lee goal from game two, the third goal of the game from them. That one, granted, was on the power play, so a little bit of a different scenario. But, yeah, you can't be making mistakes like that. And, we're in a great position. The Hurricanes are up three games to none in the series. In all likelihood, this is going to, go the way of the Hurricanes. You know, maybe not this next game, but, it's going to go that way. Only 4 times ever, I believe, has a team come back from 3 games to none to steal the series.
Yeah.
So, the Hurricanes are in a good position, but I'm you got to be critical when you're moving on to the next round because your opponent's going to be better. Yeah. And there's a lot of good teams in the East. So, some concerning things, but good teams find a way to win games, and that's what the Hurricanes are doing in all sorts of ways. So I've liked their play, and I even did like their play in this game, even though it wasn't necessarily Hurricane-style hockey. Mm-hmm. The Islanders didn't have a shot on goal in the last 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, very similar to the other game, too. Game 3, where they had, like, 1 shot in the third period.
Right.
There's a couple of things that caught my eye. One was at the end of the first period, Jarvis injures his arm with some friendly fire. Mm. And I was watching him after I saw him. It's like he was having trouble holding onto the stick. So I don't know whether he hurt his wrist or his...
Something on his arm for sure. His arms.
And then I don't remember which period it was, but Chatfield took a rough tumble. I think it might have been the third period. Took a rough tumble into the boards and was slow to get up. Mm-hmm. I think it was Chatfield. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And with Fast being out now, I get a little bit worried. And Pesci, I get a little bit worried. We're at the limit of our comfort zone in terms of players on the ice.
Right. Like I can deal with Tony being on the ice, but he hasn't been on the ice all season. You know
absolutely
what I mean? I can deal with Fast being out. You can't lose anybody else. And those guys are both critical guys. Like,
yeah. If you lose Jarvis, then it's going to change things up a little bit.
Yeah, the line's got to really react to something like that. And that's another thing. Like, it doesn't just affect that one guy, that one line. The ripple effect of losing guys is huge. So, and you'll see it moving further into the playoffs as long as Pesci is out. Hopefully he can come back at some point. But, I think Rod's just kind of hedging his bets here. And in all likelihood, I don't think we're going to really see Pesci again in these playoffs. I don't know. That's just my gut.
Yeah, I think the media said he's going to be out for round 1. Fast is out for the whole playoffs.
Fast is out for the whole playoffs,
But like you say, that could be just optimism. Mm-hmm. We don't know whether Pesci's going to make a returning in round 2. So, you know, one thing we didn't talk about last couple times, it was very important for us to get to win the first two games, because now we've taken away any chance of home ice for the Islanders. Had they won one of those games, and it's just really kind of weird, byproduct of the math. If the visiting team wins one of those first two games away, then they have home ice advantage. So it's really just one game that can determine between a 3 seed and a 6 seed who has home ice. So
yeah, the Hurricanes are finding ways to win at an away playoff game, which is nice. You know, I watched the Bally Sports broadcast and they didn't mention this once, but apparently on the national broadcast, I've heard a couple of people mention it, that they were really harping on the fact that the Hurricanes are like 3-10 in the playoffs over the last few years
away,
but they were 0-6 out of the, you know, prior to the getting to 3-4. So
yeah,
it's not exactly the same. And you know, I think I heard Adam Gold say 3-4 you'll take in the playoffs as far as an away record.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. So.
So I think, my stars were Anderson, Svechnikov and Orlov, but I started thinking as I'm scrolling through the internet, maybe we play Kochetkov the next game. Give Freddie a break. What do you think? It's tomorrow. It's an afternoon game.
I understand the logic both ways, but I think you just keep going with Freddie. If Freddie tells you he's fine, just go with Freddie.
All right.
Yeah, because, you know, let's just say he does lose that. You can then either go to either of the other guys. I still think if he loses it, you probably still go back to Freddie, unless it's just a horrible game from him, or he's injured or something like that, which, you know, I think we do like to keep our guys rested, but it is only like a day and a half's rest, right?
Right.
The game is on
to 2 p.m.
Like 2 o'clock. Yeah, 2 o'clock tomorrow. So,
and the reason I say that is, we find ourselves in the luxury position of being up 3-0. So if you want to give Kochetkov some reps to keep him kind of sharp, this would be the time to do it.
Right. I agree. Yeah. That being said, like, Rod doesn't strike me as the type of coach risk anything type of coach. I think he's always, other than the last game of the playoffs, where it literally didn't mean anything as far as our seeding was concerned and who we were going to play, or the last game before the playoffs, excuse me.
Let's give him the season.
Then he sits guys, right? And maybe the game before he might have, you know, a couple guys just on little maintenance things, but, you know, we had locked up a playoff position for a long time up until that point, and he's the type of coach that I think he's always just going to put the best team on the ice regardless of... He's not going to worry too much about that. Now, if the goaltender coach, because I know he leans on the goaltender coach a lot, if he tells him, hey, Freddie's maybe a little bit slower, maybe, you know, go to Kochetkov, then I trust that was what was told to him. But I don't think Rod's going to do anything unless someone on his staff is being mindful, or the goaltenders themselves, Freddie saying, hey, I need to sit this one. But that's not what Freddie's going to do. He's not going to tell him to sit him. So I think they're going to go with the Anderson.
So basically, if that's the case, then basically it would be the same lineup. Because we haven't heard any other injury news.
I think we're just going to be fine. Like I said, KK's been playing good, so I don't think we're going to see Lemieux until it really is required. So hopefully never, to be honest with you.
Right.
But, the Islanders played their best game. Like, you know, my takeaways are the fact that the Islanders played their best game and they still came up short. So... you know, they're going to try to do it again in game four, but I imagine that it could go very similarly. Now, if the Hurricanes play the same game that they played in game three in game four, then, you know, I'd say 50-50 chance that they win that one, kind of similar to the way that they held on to the victory in this one.
Right.
You know, I don't like holding on to a victory in the third period, right? You like to
keep playing your game.
Your
best.
Foot on their necks.
And
keep pressing down. But, you know, when you limit the other team to only, no shots in the last 8.5 minutes of the third period, that's a good way to lock it down. Now, you can't rely on that game in and game out, but like I said, the Islanders played their best game and still came up short. So we'll see what their attitude is going into game four. So they made a push in the last, you know, third, but no shots in the last 8.5 minutes, like I said. Anderson was excellent, has been the best goaltender of the series. Svech was really good tonight, 2 assists on the night. Stahl, Jarvis, Martinuk line, that really locked it in, locked it down defensively. And then Burns was really good defensively. Slavin was really good defensively, particularly late in the game. Made was kind of a good stick play. They had kind of a weird, like, half. I don't want to call it a breakaway, but some guys got through, and there was a looking like there could be a pretty good opportunity on the net, and you know, Slavin with kind of a spinning stick play just, you know, makes it look so easy and defends it. And like I said, Burns was really good defensively, I thought, in this game. He was huge. What are your thoughts going into game four, I guess? Let me ask you the other order. What do you think we'll see, and what are you hoping to see? What do you think we'll see first?
I think we'll see a very similar game. Now, keep in mind
Do you think they will see Kochetkov, or do you think we will see Anderson? What do you think they'll do? Because I know we talked about.
I think they're going to play Kochetkov.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
I think so. I think it'll be a similar type game. There were only 2 penalties per team in that game.
I think the Hurricanes did get away with some in this game. I will say that much. But
yeah,
maybe the Islanders did too. But we'll take it.
Yeah. The only one I would have been upset with was really the goaltender interference, because that led to a goal. To a goal.
That being said, the jury had a pretty weak call on him too. Called out in this near the end of the second, like a holding call or something like that.
Yeah. I think that if the penalties are a little bit different, then we're either going to run away with this game or it's going to be close.
It's interesting that you say that, because that's something I have been thinking on. You know, the power play hasn't been excellent. We scored 1 in each of the first 2 games, but it really hasn't looked that good. I mean, let's recall the 2 power play goals that there were. There was Kuznetsov, kind of from an odd angle,
sniping
the corner.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's a nice goal, and I'm glad he scored it. But it's not a traditional power play goal. Like, it wasn't snapping it around one timer. It wasn't bumper spot to, you know, a shot in the slot, and then guy picks up a rebound. Now the other one was kind of that way, but again, it's a rebound that falls to Gensel in the slot in the bumper position. He's really low in the bumper position at that point, but you know, and then he makes a smart play to get it over to Turbo, who buries it, but. You know, it hasn't looked the best, in my opinion.
They've almost looked better.
And the
Islanders, 5-on-5.
And the Islanders, and the Islanders don't have a good penalty kill. They've got one of the worst in the league.
Right, they have one of the worst in the league.
So that's a little concerning.
Yeah.
Because it has been something the Hurricanes have relied on for wins. You know, in the regular season, you know, it's not a good time to be slowing down on that. And you know, I think Hurricanes can attest to the fact that they were really excited about the way that the power play was going this year, because in years past, it wasn't clicking at nearly that level. So, you know, the fact that it's dropping off now is kind of, you know, magnified.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look at Sorokin's regular season stats here.
Both him and Varlamov were pretty similar in the regular season. I believe like a point. 908, you know, just over 900. Not what you'd expect from him. And he had a tough game. And, you know, Varlamov did come in and save all 8 shots
he
that he faced in relief. So they're probably, you know, not probably. They'll definitely go back to him in game
Varlamov,
4.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's not that they were weak goals, but they were all savable. You know, like you said, I think the Aho goal, we were talking about it. Aho gets a nice pass from Svechnikov, and he gets a shot off fast and you know, a powerful shot, but it does glance off of Sorokin's blocker, I believe.
Yeah.
Goes in the net. So, you know, stuff that is savable.
Yeah.
The Orlov one was probably the nicest goal of the game. He puts that in a spot that's pretty unsavable, especially as he kind of navigates around traffic and snaps it off.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that. I can't find it. My eyes are getting too old. But what the reason I wanted to find it.
This is the podcast, folks.
Yeah. The reason I, but this is the reason I wanted to find it. And, mm-hmm. and that is the announcers made a comment about his year this year and being outplayed by Varlamov. And they made mention that he has Sorokin is going to be paid $10 million for the next 2 years. And he's not even a starting goalie.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think that's what the what it was. So we can go back and double check on that. But yeah, they said that that contract is not going to age well when he's not even the starting goalie.
Mm-hmm.
So and then it got me thinking about goalies in general. You know, Anderson, what is he getting paid? $3 million? Not even, maybe not even, maybe 3.5,
something like that.
What a great value that is relative to, you know, someone like Sorokin. And I think that's where it's, I think it's where the management of the roster is very important, right?
He's making 8.25 next year for the next 8 years.
Sorokin. Oh my God.
8.25 for the, he's making $4 million this year, but next year he's making 8.25. For the next 8.
Wow.
It's got you. That's another Rick DiPietro situation on your hands right there.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, that is just bizarre why someone would make that move. I mean,
he was good, man. And people were thinking, okay, he's second only to Shesterkin. There was, right, there were two years in a row where that was definitely the consensus around the league that, you know, Vasilevskiy's phasing out, Shesterkin and Sorokin are phasing in. And, you know, there was times where he was right behind them, but or right behind Shesterkin. And Shesterkin himself, you know, he's playing really good right now, but he did have a pretty stuffed start to the season. There was a point where, you know, Quick was the starter. Who was,
right.
You know.
But again, it goes back to the importance of value.
Cap management.
Cap management and value.
Well, we'll talk about it, you know, after this series, maybe. Yeah. But we've discussed it before. I mean, cap management this upcoming offseason.
Yeah,
it's gonna be hell for Don Waddell.
Yeah, they mentioned that as well.
He's gonna have to put his
game
money ball cap on and really figure out something. He's got it. I was talking about it with a buddy the other day. He's got to find the next, you know, Stefan Nason. We're gonna have to get a handful of guys like that that are gonna fill in because we're not keeping all three Gensel, Jarvis, and Natchez. There's just not enough money to go around if you also want to keep in, you know, the defense, Brady, Pesci, you know.
Yeah.
You know, some of these guys are gone next year. Yep. We'll talk about it later. But back to game kind of three and predictions for game four. Anything else that you're thinking about for game four? Anything to look for? Anything, you know, you might see out of the Islanders? You know, I hope they don't really drag it down into the mud. One thing that, you know, we lost Fast and Pesci, at least for this series. Fast is out for the entire, you know, playoffs, which is super unfortunate. But you can't get dragged down into the mud with the Islanders on their way out in terms of, like, getting injured and things like that. We, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to break your knuckle on somebody's jaw getting into a brouhaha.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like I said, I think we'll see pretty much the same. But I would hope that we're a little bit more aggressive and we don't lose any assignments. And
two games in a row with some missed
assignments. It's interesting, though. Game two, the Stars came to play, right? Aho, Jarvis.
Mm-hmm.
That was the game of our stars yesterday.
But I mean, the first star of the game was Martinuk.
Yeah.
Well, he's such a critical piece. Canes fans know that he's a star.
Yeah. He's definitely. But this game, it was two defensemen, and I guess Aho is a star. You're getting a little bit of contribution from everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I read 10 different goal scorers
so far. Yeah.
In this series. That's great. 10 different goal scorers in the series. So that's
fantastic.
So we'll
do a quick review, if you don't mind, looking at the playoffs right now. In the East, it's very interesting because you have three series where the underdog has yet not won a game. Florida's up 3-0 against Tampa. Boston's up 2-1.
They've never beat Tampa in a series, and it looks like they might just sweep
them. Oh, they're going to sweep. Yeah. The way they're playing, the way Bobrovsky's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Rangers up 2-0 against the Capitals. That was kind of preordained.
Yeah, and the game is going on right now. The Rangers are beating them 3-1 as we speak. Yeah.
And then, of course, Carolina's up 3 games, which is different than the West, because the West, the only team that hasn't won a game in the West is Dallas, and that they were the best scoring team in that division.
Yeah.
Or in that conference.
The number one seed.
Yeah.
Man, that sucks that the Vegas Golden Knights are.
Yeah, now they're going. Now they're going back to Vegas for 2 games.
Are the second wild card, the defending Stanley Cup champs, are the second wild card team. That's
So got some good series going on there. Those guys are going to tire themselves out. It'd be nice to see if Toronto could put up more of a fight, I guess, and make that a 7-game series. That would be nice. Even though we're not going to play them. The Rangers, it looks like the Rangers and the Canes could go into the next round haven't lost a game in the playoffs. They could both get a sweep.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I honestly would not be shocked at all to see a win out of the Islanders, right? They're going to play desperate again. It's like I think you predicted a very similar style game. Now, hopefully the Hurricanes can play to their style, but the Islanders do have home ice advantage, so they get last change, you know. There are significant advantages to that, and it is tougher to get to your game, especially when the Islanders, you know, the way they play is that, you know, they want to control the pace, they want to slow things down, they want to, you know, really just not allow for much, and the Hurricanes do it the same, but in a different type of way. They want to generate a lot, even though it might not be, you know, the most effective shot locations and things of that nature, but I think, you know, we're going to see a similar game in game four. I would not be surprised to see, you know, I still think my prediction of 5 games, probably more than likely than 4, but the Hurricanes are playing great. So they're in a position to sweep. I'd love for them to sweep.
It'll be a good test of our maturity if we come out and just say, let's win this game so we can go have a good night's sleep.
It is interesting because it's only a day and a half rest, so we'll see how that factors in. You know, I think I've mentioned it before in the regular season when we were
back
podcasting. Like, I just never have a good feeling about back-to-backs or any type of, like, matinee games or, you know, just anything where there's just an atypicality, if that's even a word, to the proceedings of the game. Like, you know, anything like that can really delay it. I know was it it was like the Tampa Bay Florida game. They were saying that the ice was just terrible in the Tampa zone or in the Florida zone for the first period. Thus, Tampa Bay really wasn't able to move the puck around effectively because there were still puddles on the ice. This is the NHL. What? You can't have stuff like that happening. Yeah, I heard it on THG guys' review.
A lot of splashing going on.
Luckily we didn't have that issue in this series so far, but you know, just things like that. The matinee game just is, you know, has me a little bit worried. The fact that Freddie hasn't got a ton of rest, you know, has me a little worried. I still think they are going to go with Anderson, but if they go with Kochekov, it does make sense from that perspective.
I think
thank you so much for sticking around, everyone, and listening. I'm going to try to get this out as soon as possible so everyone has as much time to enjoy it and relive game 3 before going on to game 4 at tomorrow.
2 o'clock Eastern, I think.
Matinee, 2 o'clock. So I'm going to try to put this out right away. And adios, everyone. Good luck, Canes.
Like,
and
comment,
Caniacs.
And subscribe.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.